And as soon as she heard that, the Bible says Esau went. Esau was diligent. Esau was productive. Esau was not lazy. He went into the field to go and catch one of these wild animals, and with it to design or cook a nice meal like his father always loved. Now watch this. The mother now calls unto Jacob and says, Jacob, come. Something serious, something destiny defining is about to happen. Don't miss that moment. It won't come again. He said, go to the back of the house. That means Isaac's request was not an issue of lack. It is a law. Are we together now? That when you want to receive blessings truly, it comes through the platform of honor, not just hunger, not just desire. The man already had cattle at the back of his house, and the mother said, quickly go and get one of those, let me prepare for you. Now watch this. At this time Isaac is already blind, so he's not able to see. Are we together now? Then the Bible says, while Esau is in the field trying to get the, you know, the animal, struggling to pick it up, the Bible tells us that Rebecca helped Jacob and he prepared. And then she said, but I have one issue. My elder brother is hairy and then I'm not hairy. If I go to daddy, he will feel me, and without hair, he will curse me. I will secure a curse on myself. And the mother said, don't worry, there's already a plan for that. And then she found a way of covering him. Now watch this. I'm giving you the context and then we'll go to verse 20. The Bible now tells us that when he went to Isaac, Jacob, now give us 19 and 20. Look carefully. Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, your firstborn, and I have done according as thou badest me. So he's telling lies, but there is a principle I want to draw from there. I pray you sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Verse 20. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly? In other words, by the normal course, you should not have arrived by now. No, the law of diligence notwithstanding. I am a hunter myself, he's saying. I am a farmer myself. I spent my youth taking care of sheep too. Nobody arrives by this time. And here is the answer. He said, father, even though he was lying, but the principle was not a lie. He said, because the Lord thy God has brought it to me. This is why I arrived on time. That what my brother was looking for, God is able to bring it to me. And that is why I served you. And the Bible says that was convincing enough. He checked him, felt the hair, and then he blessed him. And as soon as he was done blessing him, the elder brother returns back, not with laziness, but no speed. That he arrived there and said, okay. And Isaac said, who is this again? He said, I am Esau. He said, no. Someone who came ahead of you. Another instance. In John chapter 5, the Bible talks about a pool called Bethesda. He said, upon that pool, there were many lame, weak. They lay there for the stirring of the water. Is it in your Bible? And that an angel would come there once in a year and stir up the water. And whoever was the first, timing, the first to fall into that water, he was cleansed of whatever infirmity he had. Here comes a man who came there. And after 2 years, he never became first for 38 years. Never became first for 38 years. Not from a competitive standpoint. But that man was lying close. The solution was there. Every year. I'm sure after 5 years, he would say, no problem. By the sixth year. And time kept passing. His infirmity remained. He degenerated there. This is one of the longest standing cases recorded in the Bible. We don't know how old the man was when he got there. But at 38 years to his time, stagnation and delay. And then when Jesus comes to him in John chapter 5, he says that he had been a long time. Jesus now says, "Will thou be made whole?" The man said, "I have no man. I have no man." We're coming there. "I have no man. There is no advantage in my life to help me gain speed. And because of that, just when I am about to jump in, another who probably has a man to help him." So men were allowed to help the people get into the water. It's only that he gave us a clue as to how others became first. There were men who helped them. Are we together now? But that in his case, the reason why I was there but never got in was I had no man. The man at Gate Beautiful had men who could carry him every morning and return him. That was why he was able to see Peter and John. It is important that you find men. We are going to be praying that prayer. "I have no man." And when Jesus came, Jesus spoke to him, and then the man was healed. That men can be delayed, sometimes not because of a cause that they created themselves. Sometimes it is self-inflicting, but sometimes just happenstance. Life just happens in a way and a manner that you become disadvantaged. And yet time passes and you're not able to make any use of time. So God comes and he gives you what other people are looking for. "How come you have arrived so quickly?" And Jacob, disguising as Esau, he said, "Because the Lord has brought it to me." "How come you have risen in ministry in just 1 year?" "Because the Lord," he's called Ebenezer, "he's the stone of help. He's brought me help." "How come Gateway came to this facility that in under 1 year, God has done what he has done?" "Because the Lord." You see, there are things that when you can see the signature of God. Helped by God. Helped by God. Lifted by God. Adorned by God. That when others are bragging and trusting in horses and chariots, you will say, "Well, I don't know how you got your own. But as for me, I'm a beneficiary of God's mercy. A beneficiary of his lifting. That what someone was praying for, God took it and gave you as a gift." May that be your testimony tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, beloved, let me tell you this. It is true that the race is not to the swift. And you believe me on that. Nor the battle to the strong. Nor even bread sometimes to those who are wise and of understanding. Honestly, I can tell you. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It is of the Lord that showeth mercy. I am an advocate of diligence, responsibility, and productivity. But unfortunately, there are times that life just happens that in spite of your diligence, in spite of your productivity, just tribal sentiments alone can make you a victim, even if you are productive. Gender alone can make you a victim even though you are productive. Unfortunately, your sociological context, the color of your skin in many parts of the world can make you a victim even though you are productive. At that point, you will need more than productivity and diligence. Hallelujah. Many today have been delayed. There are people who have not been promoted for 10 years. It's not an issue of capacity. It's not an issue of the absence of diligence. Biases and sentiments, they became victims of life. There is good news for you. God is able to give men restoration. He's able to give men speed. Let me speak only to a receiver, that God is able to give restoration and is able to bring speed. You believe that? Shout amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to be giving you 4 prophetic keys that are responsible for activating speed. Please never forget this for the rest of your life. I'd like you to lay your hands on your head with determination and pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Father, my life is about to change. Let the entrance of your word, let this mystery transform my life forever. A believer is laying his hands upon your head. In the name of Jesus Christ, go ahead and pray. Remember our song yesterday, you are still praying. But thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, you lift my head. But thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head. Are you praying? But thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, you lift my head. But thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory. You're my glory. Ah. In Jesus' name we pray. Who is ready for speed? Let's write the keys. Key number one. The first key that controls the manifestation of speed in the life of any believer as a system of advantage to your Christian adventure is wisdom. The first regulator of speed is wisdom. Matthew chapter 25, please, from verse 1 to 13. We may not have the liberty to read the entire text, but the Bible talks to us about 10 virgins. It's a parable. 10 virgins. How many virgins? Now look up, please. The Bible lets us know that from the beginning of that parable to the end, they all remain virgins. None of them were defiled in as much as we understand. Are we together now? They were virgins. So it was not an issue of righteousness or unrighteousness. It was not an issue of sin or holiness. It was an issue of wisdom or foolishness. They were all virgins. They had lamps, but the Bible says, five among them, whilst they were preparing for the arrival of the bridegroom, like you are preparing for your destiny, they factored in. The Bible says, through wisdom, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. It is wisdom that makes you to be thoughtful, to anticipate the future, to prepare for the best, but to also brace up for whatever comes. So the Bible says they were all virgins. We didn't know from the story initially whether they were wise or they were foolish. They were all virgins. Time would tell us who was wise and who was foolish. Are we learning now? The Bible says that some, in carrying their lamps, they said peradventure, the bridegroom may have conditions beyond his control and that may affect his arriving early. Let's not be careless. Let's not give chances. We have our lamps, but let us take extra oil. Someone say extra oil. One more time, say extra oil. Not oil. There was already oil in the lamp, but they carried extra oil. How many of you know that that would have been an extra burden for them? But they still carried it. They still carried it. The sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There are things that are needed, but they are heavy. And yet there is a mandate on you to still carry them. It's a difficult thing to juggle between your career and efficient prayer. Still carry it. It is difficult to juggle between parenting and being fervent in spirit and in the word. It's difficult to live at the other end of town and still be coming to church. But your diligence is you carrying extra oil. Is someone learning now? The Bible says they carried the extra oil. And then they all got there, seated as virgins, I'm sure discussing with one another. But the delay of the bridegroom began to separate the virgins into two groups. It was not their fault. They all anticipated the bridegroom to come on time, like you expected to go through life on time. And because things happen, it was not their making, and yet they were still called fools for not anticipating. For not anticipating, the Bible calls a man foolish. For not anticipating that one day your uncle may not be in government again, and then to leave him and start depending on God and learning how to depend on God, the Bible calls such a person foolish. Every time you do not carry extra, you are foolish. The wisdom there is in the ability to carry extra, go the extra mile, pray the extra mile, serve the extra mile, give the extra mile, labor diligently the extra mile. Extra can literally be the difference between wisdom and foolishness. So the Bible says the bridegroom delayed, and in the passage of time, their lamps began to go dim. Not because anything was wrong with the lantern, there was no oil. And the Bible says they ran to the wise virgins and they said, please, could you give us of your oil? And they said, no, we are sorry. Less if we give it to you, what if the bridegroom delays further? It means all of us will now be called foolish. We are sorry. We carry just enough for our journey. However, we can give you a recommendation. Go to them that sell. That means to those who are foolish, there is always them. There are always them that sell. There are custodians of God's grace. There are custodians of God's wisdom. There are custodians of the anointing by grace and by mercy. And the Bible says, if you discover that time is against you and your lamp is dying, look for those that sell quickly and go to them. Are we together now? You find out that you've been failing, you've been losing money. Don't wait till you lose everything. Find them that sell. There are those who sell wisdom. The word sell there does not just mean transact. Are we together now? Dispense value, but it comes at a cost. I preached a message years ago called Buy the Truth. And that the truth is not cheap. It is free, but it is not cheap. And there are currencies we use to buy the truth. Hunger is currency. Meekness is currency. Honor is currency. Passion is currency. Diligence is currency. Buy the truth. And when you find it, it says, sell it not. Are we learning? So go to them that sell. By the mercies of God, for many of you, you have come for this conference as proof that wisdom is at work in your life. Because you look left, right, and center. There's no advancement. There's no speed. There's no testimony. One great testimony and then the remaining year full of tears. And you said, no, my lamp is going dim. Lest I be called a foolish virgin, let me run to Gateway Church. I congratulate you for demonstrating wisdom. Because you have come, and by the privilege of God's mercy, you have come to encounter them that sell. Oh yes, there are them that sell. Listen, scarcity is not a generic phenomenon. Don't generalize scarcity. Scarcity is relative to perception. Scarcity is relative to wherewithal. Even when there was no food in Samaria, there were two people who were spared, the king and the priest, who was the prophet. And now the Bible says you are both. You are a king and you are a prophet. That means even in famine, your priesthood and your kingship should be garrisons. They should protect you.
Lifter up of my head. You're the lifter up of my head. You are the lifter up of my head.
Wisdom. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. There are very few believers, I submit to you, who know the value of wisdom. Most people do not know the value of wisdom. So here's how it works. It's a tripartite combo. It is wisdom, or knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Three of them work together. You cannot have wisdom until you have understanding. And you cannot have understanding until you have knowledge. What is knowledge? An acquisition of facts, truths, a collation of useful information. Bringing within your space a body of useful information is called knowledge. Understanding is a comprehension of the working dynamics that activates those laws, those truths, those information. A comprehension on how to activate those truths so that they deliver is called understanding. Wisdom is the application of that which you now know. Are we together now? So the Bible says through wisdom a house is built. You need knowledge, then you need understanding, then you need wisdom. Most believers lack wisdom because they lack knowledge. Those who have knowledge have awareness but no comprehension. They are ever learning but never coming onto the truth. And the secret of understanding is an encounter with the spirit of understanding and submitting yourself to a teaching priest. The Ethiopian Enoch said, how can I except some man teach me? Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will give you pastors or shepherds according to my heart, and they shall feed you. Jeremiah 3:15. They will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. You can find the information at home, but you may not prosper by that information. It says, when I came to the house of the Lord, then understood I. There is understanding in the house of God. Are we together? Is someone learning? Someone say wisdom. You want to redeem time, you must encounter wisdom. And I pray for you, an end to foolish decisions has come tonight. An end to destiny sabotaging decisions comes to an end this night. You see, how do I know that wisdom is at work in my life? By the quality of your decisions and the results that follow. How do I know wisdom is at work in my life? I repeat, by the quality, the superiority of the decisions that you make. If your decisions are not pro-advancement, not pro-kingdom, not pro-glory, not pro-honor, always retrogressing you and bringing you down, wisdom is deficient. Hallelujah. For instance, rather than wasting 5 years of my life, I rather invest 2 hours to read one book by a veteran who has wisdom with proof. I have redeemed 5 years in 2 hours of diligence. It is called wisdom. Are we together now? Someone's pain has been documented in a book, and in 2 hours, I can read it and learn the pain that took someone 15 years to even discover and adjust. And by that, I can gain 10 more years. That is wisdom. Planning is a subset of wisdom. That you get up in the morning and you don't just freelance your day. Whatever will be, will be. It's a waste of your day. How about sitting back to meditate, to think, what is my day going to be like? What are my priorities today? It is wisdom. We gain time. And we experience speed when we engage wisdom. Let me give you number two very quickly. The second key that controls speed, are you ready? It's called favor. Ah, shout favor. Shout it like you are ready to receive it. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 36. Favor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Favor. Exodus 12. 36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians, so that they would not need to look for those things again. The time they would have taken to look for those things, by favor, God brought them to your life. Are we together now? Favor is a very powerful mystery in the kingdom. It is an accelerator of destiny. I am telling you, One day, one manifestation of the favor of God upon your life can be equivalent to many, many years, not days, many years of struggle. What is favor? God raising men to help you. What is favor? God raising men to invest their credibility, to invest their time, to invest their energy towards your success. What is favor? God causing men to show you unusual kindness. God raising men to grant you unusual access. Favor. Most people do not have favor. Esther chapter 2, please, from verse 8 and 9. Let's look at it quickly. Favor is resting on someone tonight. Favor does not mean an end to diligence. No. Diligence, in fact, is an enhancer of favor. The idea that favor is a license to be careless, to not work, to not do anything, is a mediocre idea of favor. Favor is enhanced by diligence. One of the laws that control favor is value. One of the laws that control favor is diligence. One of the laws that control favor is relationships. There are laws. Favor is not automatic. Hello, look at me. Favor is not automatic. No, it does not just happen. Favor is at the instance of activating some of these laws. Proverbs 13:15 says, how does he put it? Give it to us, please. And then we'll go back to Esther chapter 2. I just want to quote Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding, thank you. It giveth favor, but the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. You see it there? The mother that gives birth to favor is called good understanding. And the mother that gives birth to hardship is called transgression, a violator of God's laws. Back to Esther, please, chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's work with the time we have left. We're about to pray. Esther chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, so when it came to pass, speaking about Esther now, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, the Bible says they gathered many virgins together unto Shushan the palace and to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also to the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. Verse 9, I like verse 9, my God. The Bible says, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. What was the proof? The Bible says, he speedily gave her. That's the proof of favor. Can I tell you? Giving must come on time to profit you. When giving comes late, it can still be a waste. Are we together now? Yes. The Lord heard in the day of trouble. May the God of Jacob defend you. The Bible says, may he send you help from his sanctuary in the name of Jesus. Someone, you are receiving help that is manifest as favor in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, withhold not good from him that it is due when it is within your power. Do not tell him, go and come tomorrow, because you would delay him. There are some of you, you have people around your life who can give you, but until the need for that thing dies before they arrive, it's not enough to have givers. You must have favor so that the giving comes with speed. That you want to treat someone in the hospital and the money for the surgery comes after the person is dead, it doesn't profit you again. Help must come on time for it to be profitable. I'm prophesying speed over someone, that in the name of Jesus, everyone anointed by God to come to your rescue, but they have been delayed by the powers of darkness or laxity on their own part, I pray for you, after this conference, they come speedily to help you, speedily to lift you, speedily to provide a leverage through their credibility in the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Favor. Go back and cry for favor. Cry for favor. I don't know how people survive without it. Men arising for your sake. Men helping you. Can I tell you this? I prayed a prayer for my people years ago, and I want to pray that prayer for you now. May you never be so poor that all you have is money. Let me say it again. May you never be so poor that all you have are pieces of papers with printings on it. If all you have in your life is money, you are really poor. Everything money can buy, there are harder currencies that can buy it. One of the hardest currencies available to men outside of the Holy Spirit and wisdom are strategic relationships. Everything money buys can be paid for with relationships. The only reason money has value is because there is a man to accept it as a legal tender. Destroy all the men on earth and open all the bank safes. Your paper becomes useless. Your assets become useless. What gives value to anything transaction? Amen. When God really wants to help you, he gives you beyond paper. He connects you to the heart of man. Let me show you a scripture and then speak it over your life. Who is learning already? Numbers chapter 1 and verse 5. If you're a man of God here, receive this as a prophetic word for the next season of your life. Read with me. 1, 2, go. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you. Men that shall. Every time God gives a mandate, there are men, and the men have names. He said, these are the names. They are countable. They are finite. For somebody, John is somewhere to help you. For someone, Gabriel is somewhere to help you. The men have names. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you. Where you are scarce of men, not having any helper, I pray for you. Those who have been mandated by God to find you and help you, in the name of Jesus, God will gravitate them towards your destiny. God will gravitate them towards your destiny. God will gravitate them towards your destiny. God will bring them to your ministry. Let me tell you this. Honestly, hear me. The day you find a helper of destiny, that day you will enter your rest. And you believe me when I tell you. There are many people, with all due respect, life is hard. Ministry is hard. You are as favored as who is willing to help you. You are as favored as who is interested in your joy, interested in your pain, interested in your rising. Oh, your help has come. Oh, 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 oh. Use 1 minute to receive it as a prophetic word. Oh, 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 oh. Sit down. Let's find somewhere to pray. So the keys that control speed, number one, wisdom. Number two, favor. Are you ready for number three? The third key that activates speed over your life is praying speed-provoking prayers. There are speed-provoking prayers. Speed-provoking prayers. 1 Kings 18 from verse 42. Let's hurry up, please. Speed provoking prayers. The Bible says, so Ahab went to eat and to drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth. He put his face between his knees. Next verse. The Bible says he prayed and he told the servant, go up, go and check, go up, go and check. He did that 7 times. Next verse. The Bible says, at the 7th time, he said, behold, there ariseth a cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and get down, lest the rain stop you. It looked like Ahab had gone ahead of him and the man was delayed. You are never delayed when you stay to pray. In fact, when you pray, you gain speed. 45. The Bible says, it came to pass that the heavens were black and there was great rain, and Ahab rode down and went to Jezreel. Shout 46 with me if you are a believer. At the end of that prayer, what happened? The hand of God was upon Elijah, and he girded his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You can pray speed provoking prayer. Lord, by my human calculation, it will take 10 years to arrive at this level in ministry, but I cry unto the God that shows men speed, and in 1 year my God can give you acceleration. Do you believe this? Speed. Psalm 109, 26 and 27. Psalm 109. Give you one more and then we'll pray. I'm praying that God is changing someone's life tonight. Are you ready? We'll read it together. 26 and 27. Ready? As loud as you can. One, two, go. Help me, O Lord. Save me according to your mercy. 27. That I may know. He said, help me in a way that everyone will know that this one is your hand. This one is not just political connection. This one. There is a way God comes through for you in ministry. There is a way God comes through for you in your family that men will step back and say, we have not seen it in this fashion. This one is God's grace. How are you sleeping and a helper wakes you and takes 10 hectares of land? It is my gift. The Lord said I should give you. Bring three of your children. I've been mandated by God to sponsor their education till PhD. Leave the bills to me. He said, help me, oh God, that they may know that this is your hand. That this is your hand. Listen, I vowed a vow and I cried in prayer to God. I said, Lord, may I never do anything that does not have the signature of your hand. Let it be clear that this one is your hand. Ministry by your hand. Finances by your hand. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. God can help men. Oh, don't get used to pain. Don't get used to suffering. God can help men. Man of God, you are not the first to build. You are not the first to look for land. Hey, wake up from that unbelief. God can help men. Are you hearing me? God can amplify your voice and echo it across the length and the breadth of the nations. There are things men can do. There are things Satan can do. But there are things only God can do. There are things only God can do. To raise an ordinary person from a family in Port Harcourt here, there are things only God can do. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. It was in this same Port Harcourt. I was in this Port Harcourt many years ago. Many of you may not know. 2007 or thereabouts, 6 or 7. I remember I came in briefly to this city. I saw the wonders of God. When I arrived this city, I stopped. I will not mention the street. I stopped there with 800 naira in my pocket. That was all I had, 800, home and abroad. I remember walking around the street and praying, God, how am I going to live here? If you keep giving excuses, you will remain where you are. I'm not being unsympathetic with your pain, but I'm getting you angry tonight. to say, Lord, these excuses have been given as to why ministry is not growing. These excuses have been given as to why I'm always late paying my children's school fees. I confess that I don't know what to do, but I cry unto you, Jehovah, let your hand be upon me. There are people who need to pray the prayer of Jabez. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Take away shame. Take away reproach. Take away shame. Take away reproach from my life. Number four, this is where we stop tonight. I have just a few minutes left. When I give you this fourth one, I'm going to be making some prophetic declarations from the depth of my spirit. Do we have all the prayer requests? Please, ushers, if you can drop them or bring them. Where are the requests? Is it possible to have them at the altar? If it's possible, please. If I have the permission, let's just do that. Because for someone, this is one conference, bah, that you will know you encountered the God of heaven. Listen, and for someone who is listening by radio, someone who is watching through the internet, or those who are connected across all the satellite expressions, make sure your heart, this is the moment that if you miss, it would take a long time for these kinds of seasons to come again. For some of you, you are here because your mother prayed and fasted for weeks. Your coming here is an answer to mama's prayer. She said, I may not have done well with my life, but Lord, help my child. Don't focus on me, help my child. And God drew you from all over Port Harcourt and brought you here tonight. Men can encounter God. The last key, in addition to wisdom, my God, I sense such a strong anointing here. Wisdom, favor, speed provoking prayers, and then finally the prophetic. The fourth key that controls speed is the prophetic. Sir, can I request that you bring it up here? Do I have, please? You don't have to pour it out, just bring it. I just want to make contact with it. So let's have one person. If you're here to drop it, I want to place my hand there. Let the God that answers by fire tonight, that every captivity that has tied you and said you will not laugh, that you will not rejoice, in the name of Jesus, if God be God, he must give way finally this night. Second Kings, please, chapter 7. If you can stand, please stand. We will read verse 1 and we'll read verse 18. I want to show you how the prophetic controls speed. If you are writing, write, oh, be patient and write, because some things need to give way this night. Second Kings. And Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow by this time. Tomorrow by this time. Now listen. Listen. The prophetic has two layers. It's unfortunate that the prophetic has been abused. And so for many people, once you hear the prophetic, your heart just closes because of memories of immaturity, abuses, excesses, unfortunately. And we keep praying that God will help the body of Christ and clean up everything that needs to be cleaned up in terms of the negative aspects of the prophetic. But listen, if you do not encounter the prophetic, there are certain dimensions you will never rise to. The Bible says, the kingdom was built on a formula. Christ is the chief cornerstone. But immediately you encounter Christ, there are two unique ministries you must encounter to rise. They are called the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. Many ministries today are stagnated because they have not experienced the prophetic. Your Jesus needed three prophets in his life to rise. Your Jesus as the word. Number one, Simeon the prophet. Number two, Anna the prophetess. Number three, John the Baptist. Three. Your Jesus walked upon the earth until he encountered John the Baptist. And the Bible says, on baptizing him, he says, suffer it to be so. Then your Bible says, the heavens opened and a voice spoke. These things are ordinances. They are not suggestions. It is how the kingdom operates. Can I tell you, a time comes in your life where you have exhausted everything you know to do. At that point, God brings you face to face with the prophetic. And let me tell you something about the prophetic. Look at me. A man of God can be a prophet, but not sent to you. He can speak scripture as a blessing, but not have any word uniquely for your rising, because he was not sent to you. The Bible says there were many widows in Zarephath, but to none was Elijah sent. That means Elijah was sent to one. Maybe on his way going to meet the widow in Zarephath, he saw other widows. Good afternoon, prophet. And all he told them was good afternoon and kept going until he went to the woman he was sent to. Happy is the man that encounters the grace sent to you. Sent to you. Sent to you. Sent to you. Hallelujah. You're about to receive something now. Listen, there are two dimensions to the prophetic. The first dimension of the prophetic is called the revelatory dimension. And the assignment of that dimension is to exhort and comfort you by supplying, by the wisdom of the Spirit, information that bring direction, that bring perspective, and help to interpret the happenings around your life as it relates to your destiny and God's program. Revelatory. But the most superior dimension of the prophetic is called the creative dimension of the prophetic. That one does not reveal. It makes what has no business happening to happen. So when the prophet said, by this time tomorrow, he was not giving them privileged information. Nothing would have happened tomorrow. But by the prophetic, he programmed an event that had no business happening. Are you understanding this now? So I can tell you, for instance, maybe your name is John, and you will say, yes. How do you know? That's the revelatory dimension of the prophetic. But when I speak to you and say, in the name of Jesus, may your helper show up, and someone who has no business coming to your life, it falls upon a helper like a mantle and literally redirects the course of his life until that word stays. This is why you will see our fathers of faith. They may not necessarily give you any direct revelation, but men like Baba Adeboye will say, there's someone here. The Lord says, I should tell you that it will be your season of laughter. And people shout amen very casually. Let me tell you what happens. When a prophetic word that is genuine is released, what happens is that the spirit of wisdom goes into motion immediately, like a movie director. It begins to find the human components who must partner with prophecy. Are we together now? Yes. That's how it works. So when I say, in the name of Jesus, let a helper arise, the word does not die. You see, the spirit of wisdom, in partnership with the angelic, will now begin to move across Port Harcourt or any other place and then come to men. Now, because men have their will, they can reject it. They can reject being used by God, and he will keep using someone else. If Mary rejected being used by God, God would not force her. He would look for another virgin. That's why there was no name Mary written in prophecy. It says a virgin shall conceive. Any virgin at all. That's why the angel came to Mary and said, God wants to use your womb. She said, be it unto me. I agree to partner with prophecy. So let me tell you this. I'm saying this because in a prophetic atmosphere like this, it is dangerous to put your mind on somebody specific. Apostle, while you are prophesying, my mind is going to my uncle. You are practicing idolatry. God uses men, but you don't choose the men for him to use. You look unto Jesus, and there are 8.2 billion people on earth. If one man refuses, God will raise another one. Are we together now? So I'm saying this so that once I'm praying, you don't shout amen and you are eyeing somebody who has money around. You are praying, I hope this man is hearing. No. Don't put anybody under pressure. They looked unto him. I vowed that I will never look unto a man, even though God will use men, but my eyes are on Jesus. Let God choose the men he will use to help you. Let God select, and you will see that sometimes God will use lepers, because all the able-bodied men were afraid, and he will use lepers. And if there are no lepers, he will use a fish and make it to carry a coin for your sake. God for you. Help that lady, please. The prophetic. Verse 18. There was a foolish man who made up his mind. And he said, even if God will open the windows of heaven, will this happen? And the prophet said, because you have despised prophesying, you will see it as an evidence that God is true, but you will not partake of it. He died at the gate of breakthrough. And the Bible says in verse 18, it came to pass. May it come to pass in your life. It came to pass as the man of God had spoken to the king. Listen, the real proof of power is that what you say comes to pass. The real proof of power is not just falling and rising. And God said, and there was. And he saw. And God said, and there was. And he saw. The word became flesh, and it was manifest. When a man of God fasts and prays and keeps building his spirit man, it is so that by mercy and grace he can access superior dimensions of spiritual power. That when you speak, your words do not become barren of performance. How shall these things be? Mary said, seeing that I know not a man. And Gabriel replies and says, the power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, shall overshadow you. Then she says, be it unto me according to your word. I'm about to speak over your life as well as pray over this. I'm standing in faith with the angel over this commission, the men and women of the gospel here represented, and under this corporate anointing. Just lend me 2 or 3 minutes and we're done for tonight. But everywhere across Port Harcourt, following by television, following by radio, following by internet, wherever you are across the stations, I'm going to be laying my hands upon this request. In 1 minute, I'd like you to agree with me in prayer as you cry, that every Egyptian that followed me here, that I will see them no more forever. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Someone open your mouth and pray. 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 Salakata barakata barakatas. Salakam pratika beleke baratos. Lord, visit families. Turn their mornings to dancing. Turn their sorrow to joy. Lakare soto barakate balada bakata. Take a minute and invest in prayer. That these Egyptians that I see today, by the mercies of God, by the wisdom of God, I see them no more forever. Shalene keberekes kabadakatosh, krapatabarakata beledebeketesh, shadabeledebeketesh. Father, visit families. give your people testimonies in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that everything you have written here by faith, I stand in faith and partnership with the angel over this commission and all the servants of the living God here represented. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, let every request here be turned to answers, be turned to testimonies, be turned to answers, be turned to testimonies, be turned to answers, be turned to testimonies, be turned to answers, be turned to testimonies. Hallelujah. There are four ways God answers prayer. Number one, by supernatural intervention. Number two, by wisdom to help you make advancing decisions, pro-destiny decisions. Number three, by the ministry of men. Number four, he answers by making you grow. These are the four ways God answers prayer. There are many requests that are growth dependent. They were not supposed to be requests in the first place. It is that the version of you the answer is looking for has not yet become. So God answers the prayer by causing you to grow. There are times God causes you, he answers you by giving you wisdom so that you make decisions that bail you out. There are times God answers by giving you access to men. There are times God answers by direct supernatural intervention. Now I will speak over your life. I am a product of prophecy. I know what the prophetic can do when it is received. I am a product of the lifting power of the prophetic. For some of you, you have come here, it's like a weary land. Nothing is working. This year has not done you well. Honestly, for some of you, if you are to be very honest, you don't even know which one is better than which, because every month has been tears. The Lord has sent us here by help, by mercy, as one of the four carpenters, to judge these horns that have lifted up themselves against Judah, against Israel, and against Jerusalem. Therefore, by the privilege of this mantle and this election of grace, let me speak over a believer who has the faith to receive every door that has been closed over your destiny. In the name that is above all names, I command that door to be opened now. Open now. Be open now. Be open now. Number two, I want to call by prophecy the helpers of your destiny. There are four kinds of men you need to rise in destiny. Number one, divine connectors. Number two, men of influence. Number three, gifted men. Number four, burden bearers. I pray for you, these four groups of men, may they show up this season in your life. May they show up this season in your life. May they show up in your ministry, show up in your family, show up in your business, in the name of Jesus. Let me pray a prayer for you that I pray for my people back home. Hear me. It is one thing to be gifted, but you are only rewarded when your value serves the problem of men who have capacity to discern and to reward. Joseph solved the dream of three people. Two of them kept him in prison. Only one brought him out. You can have the ability to interpret dreams, but if it is not Pharaoh's dream you are interpreting, you will still remain in prison. Some of you have been interpreting dreams of wine pressers and bakers. You are gifted, ordained for the throne, but men of capacity are yet to drink of your value. I pray for you. May God keep changing your audience, changing your audience, until you meet those who have value for what you carry. I say it again, may my God keep changing your audience, changing your audience. until you collide with men who can reward what you carry. Listen, it is a terrible thing to be gifted and to be in the presence of those who have no recognition or honor for what you carry. You will be despised even when you are Jesus. There were people who saw Jesus once and their lives changed. There were others who had him in their presence and they scourged him and insulted him. You can be a world changer, but in the presence of a wrong audience, they will trivialize your anointing, trivialize the grace you carry. But I'm praying for you again, for someone who did not receive it the first time. May my God take you to men who have an appreciation for what you carry. In the name of Jesus, hear me. The Bible says, I want you to listen very carefully. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. But it was not always so. The Bible says, as a young boy, he innocently came out of the womb of his mother. But because of her pain, she named him Jabez. Sorrow was not his making, but he was a victim of prophecy. Not from a bad woman. Pain can make people do things they didn't want to do. Pain can make someone say it will not be well with you, whereas they did not mean it. But one day Jabez got angry and he says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. What God did in the life of Jabez between now and December, may my God do it in your life. What God did in the life of Jabez, enlargement, increase, honor, may my God make it happen in your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. The Bible says, the man Samson, he lost through carelessness the secret and the covenant and the consecration that protected his oil. He was mysteriously endued with the spirit of might. But like every anointing, there are consecrations that protect the oil. You don't need to bother about the oil depleting if you maintain the rudiments of the consecration. And in this case, he fell to carelessness and Delilah lured him. The Bible says he got up like before and found out that his hair had gone, the symbol of his strength. And the first thing they plucked out was his eyes. They took away his capacity to see. But then the Bible says, at the end of his life, I'm saying this for someone, only foolish people will put their pillars in front of the stage for everybody to see. In ancient temples, the pillar of anything is the reason why that thing stands. Are we together now? I'm not talking in terms of structure, even though it was structure. A pillar represents the secret of your stability. You don't put it on stage. A pillar is hidden in the secret place. The pillar is your prayer life. The pillar is your giving. There are things that are not for public. They are the pillars. It is what keeps you standing. It is your covenant with God. You don't throw it away on stage. But they build the pillars on stage. And he reached out to one of them. And while there was a crowd like this, mocking the God of heaven and mocking him, he prayed a prayer. God, would you restore one last time? I know that I missed it. When this conference was organized last year, I was laughing at those who came, you may be saying, because I was not a Christian. Now, 1 year later, I have seen the value. Lord, restore. The things I would have gotten since last year, but my carelessness brought me this pain. The Bible says, while the hair of Samson was growing back, the people were too distracted to see what God was doing. And with one push, he didn't push everyone, he only pushed two pillars. There are things when you touch, everything crumbles. They are called pillars. Let me digress to teach you. There are pillars that must not be compromised in your life. Your prayer life, pillars. Your word study life, pillars. Your passion for God, pillars. It is better to cancel an invitation and honor the one between you and God than to be around everywhere and yet your secret place is empty. Pillars. This is not a pastor's conference, but please just allow me say it. I'm speaking to someone by the Spirit. It's time to get back. He's not seen your face for a long time because you are busy being a celebrity. Remember where he took you from. Shut the gates and rebuild the pillars. The Bible says Samson pushed the pillars, and with the pillars falling, everything fell. That he killed more people at his death than he did in his lifetime. Let me speak to someone. Where you have failed through attacks, through carelessness, because you were not born again, I speak to you, let this be a voice of mercy. May my God start with you again, empower you again, anoint you again, in the name of Jesus Christ. For someone who is about to lose his bishopric through carelessness, let this be a voice of mercy, that God restores you, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, if you will give me one more minute, I understand that tomorrow is election in River State. Is it okay if we sow a seed of prayer in 1 minute? Is that all right? Do you believe in that? Whatever it is, the blood of your child or your spouse is not worth it. Open your mouth and pray in 1 minute. That God will move over this land, protect and preserve. Our prayer as a church is for protection and preservation. Protection and preservation. That as people exercise their franchise, God will show mercy. Let there be peace in your state. Let there be understanding. Let there be stability. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everyone stand, please. Everyone stand. The Bible says the Lord added daily as many as should be saved. There are people who came here trusting God to visit them, but have never met the God of the Bible. You may receive a healing. You may receive deliverance. You may receive all kinds of impartations. But if that is not with Jesus at the center of your life, then I want you to know that it was a poor bargain. Everyone Jesus healed still died. Even Lazarus, who rose up from the dead, still died again. Everybody who was delivered still died eventually. But there is life beyond the grave, and Jesus is the way who leads to that life. There are thousands of people across this auditorium, this beautiful campground, and the many who are outside, the many who are around Port Harcourt, and perhaps someone you are listening by radio or watching by television or the internet, maybe even a rebroadcast, and you are saying, Apostle, do you mean me? Absolutely. Jesus is speaking to you. We're out of time, but for your sake, I request that we'll have, even if it is 2 minutes, I'm going to count 1 to 5. You are saying, Apostle, I do not want this conference tonight to be over without giving me an opportunity to make it right with Jesus or to rededicate my life. Wherever you are far from me, so I will request that you run when it is time. I'm going to count 1 to 5. When it has to do with the business of Jesus, there is no compulsion. But the Bible says, come unto me, Jesus was speaking, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, he says, I will give you rest. I want to make that call. God bless you, my dear sisters. as I count 1 to 5, leave your seat. Don't say someone is watching me. Don't say I need someone to be the first. This is the business between you and your maker, your king, and your savior. At the fifth count, I'll begin to pray. Wherever you are, begin to come now. Let's honor them as they come. One. Come on, Gateway, Port Harcourt. Let's celebrate the miracle of salvation. Two. Those who are coming from far behind, would you walk swiftly? Make haste. Three. God bless you as you come. Let's motivate them as we clap. Keep coming. Male and female, young and old, brothers and sisters, come. Come. Come to Jesus. Keep clapping until the last person is here. You are sowing that seed in their lives. This is how joy and celebration will be in your own life. Four. I still see people rushing. God bless you as you come. I still see people running through the aisles. God bless you as you come. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. On behalf of Jesus Christ and on behalf of his servant, the angel over this house, I congratulate and I salute every one of you for making this noble decision. This is the wisest decision that any man can make in this side of God's kingdom. And I salute you for the courage, the discernment to respond to the promptings of the Spirit. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. May I request that you lift your right hand for those of you who are here. And that includes all who are praying this prayer from across your expressions and those who are following online. I'd like you to repeat after me, not as though repeating a poem, but you are repeating this before Jesus. It is a genuine prayer confessing his lordship. Say it as loud and as clear as you can. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I declare that I love you with all my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your beautiful hands as I pray for you. Father, the Bible declares that as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. I pray for these precious ones. They have come declaring your lordship over their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace to live the victorious Christian life is released upon you now. I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you go from glory to glory, from grace to grace. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Now please do me a favor, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to look to my left. That will be your right from where you're standing. There's a sister waving her hands, representing the counselors. Please, would you follow them? They will have a word and a prayer with you in 1 minute, and you'll be back to your seat. Let's honor them as they go. Is this the best you can do? Give them a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Whilst they're on their way going, I speak over you that in the name of Jesus, as this conference comes to an end, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, one by one you will receive your testimonies. One by one they will be delivered like parcels to your life, delivered like parcels to your destiny. I call you blessed. Let this grace rest upon you. You enjoy speed. You enjoy advancement. I say it again, you enjoy speed. You enjoy advancement. Speed in your destiny. Speed in ministry. Let that oil rest on you. Let that anointing rest on you. And for everyone who came here with any point of contact, I saw some of you holding bottles of oil or whatever you have come with as a point of contact. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, standing in partnership with the grace that is upon this house, I speak over you. We declare them anointed, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we call them instruments of signs and wonders. Instruments of signs and wonders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you and increase you. In Jesus' name we pray.